If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me please to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 6 and chapter number 7. I don't often see, I guess, a message or a thought in the end of one chapter. And we need to always remember in our Bibles that the chapter breaks are man-made, so to speak. And I'm not complaining about that. The Bible's much easier to study and to memorize because of the chapter breaks and the verses. But God has put a thought on my heart out of the last few verses in chapter 47 and the first 10 verses in chapter 7. Excuse me, the last few verses in chapter 6, beginning with verse 47, and the first 10 verses in chapter 7. Let's read them together. Whosoever cometh to me, Jesus said, and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Verse 1, chapter number 7. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And he cometh, let's see, I lost my place here. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. If correctly read, that's the last, I guess, three verses in chapter 6 and the first 10 in chapter 7. I'd ask you to pray with me, and I want to bring just a few thoughts tonight that I hope will be a blessing. Our Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to stand behind this book. Lord, it's the greatest book that's ever been written. And Lord, it contains the greatest truths that mankind will ever have the privilege to know and to hear. And Lord, in this one man's life, it has produced a great faith. A faith so great our Lord, that you said you had not seen it anywhere else in Israel, all Israel. I pray, Father, tonight that you would encourage us. But Lord, more than anything tonight, I pray you would challenge us. Lord, we're not home yet. Lord, the disciples that walk with you saw you work, saw you help people, saw you heal people, saw the miracles. Lord, they ask you for two things. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then they said, increase our faith. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd stir our hearts. Thank you, our Father, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach just a little while tonight, or share a thought with you on the faith you just can't shake. I've met a few people in my life, not very many. But it didn't matter if they were on the mountain. It didn't matter if they were in the valley. They had a faith in God that you just couldn't shake. I believe Job had that kind of faith. How else could a man say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've seen a lot of people. Brother Don spoke last night about finishing well. I've seen a lot of people that finished very slowly and very sickly, but they still finished well. Down through the ages, there have been people that have laid their head in a guillotine. They've been burned at the stake. They've been boiled in oil. They've been crucified. And yet they would not deny the God of glory. They had a faith that you just couldn't shake. I read this story today, and it was late in the afternoon when God spoke to my heart. And I remembered a man that, I don't know, I lose track of time, probably several years ago now. The man seemed to be a little bit interested in spiritual things. He made it through his surgery good. The next time I visited with him, he just seemed like he was cold as a cucumber. It seemed like there's any interest at all. I'm okay now. And I asked that man, I said, I didn't know how to approach him. I've never done this before. Probably 25 years at least older than I am. I said, brother, you've got a nice house up here on this hill. I said, if you came in here and you noticed that they had already laid up the basement and you looked down in the footer and there was nothing but sand, I said, what would you do? He did not hesitate. He said, I'd make them tear it down. And I told this man, I said, you're never going to get any help until you allow God to tear down what you've been building all these years. Because you've been building it on the sand. You've not been building it on the rock. Jesus is the rock of ages. The Bible said here, that person that hears and then obeys, does what they hear, is like a person that digs down deep. Down till they get through the topsoil and down through they get through the soft stuff and get down to a rock and build that house on that foundation. There's a faith here in this centurion's heart that couldn't be shaken. I love it. One of the first things I noticed, this is not part of the outline, so to speak, are just three little things God gave me. It's about more than an outline. There's not one of us tonight that couldn't use an increase in our faith. Yes, Brother Paul, I pray. There's times. How many knows what I'm talking about? My faith's not what it ought to be. My faith's not been... I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. The Word of God said, perfect love casteth out fear. I read that this morning. How'd you like to be 61 years old and take a group of teenagers? Help me. You say, Pastor, you take it that seriously? Oh, yes, I do. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm telling you tonight, listen, fellas, and listen, ladies, we need an increase in our faith. You know what I believe? I believe that book will work for the little ones. It'll work in the nursery. It'll work in the 3 to 5s. It'll work in the 6 to 12s. It'll work in the teens. It'll work in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. It'll work in the seniors. It's a book. It'll work. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. How do you know, Pastor, that this man had a faith that you just can't shake? I want to give you several things the Lord spoke to my heart about. Just three things quickly. Number one, this man saw another man's agony. He said, his servant, I love what the Word of God said here. A centurion's servant who was dear unto him. How many people in this world have somebody that they're over that is dear unto them? This man, I believe with all of my heart, had a compassion. Listen to me, I'm not fussing tonight, but many times it's lacking in our fundamental churches. I'm talking about, beloved, being able to understand and realize that somebody might be living in the finest house and still not sleeping at night because they do not have peace with God. Have to keep the TV on all the time or the radio on all the time. Some kind of noise going. I believe with all of my heart tonight, this man was able to enter into his servant's agony. He had compassion. That's what Jesus did. When he saw the multitudes, the Word of God said, he was moved with compassion upon them. Now, you can say whatever you want to tonight, but I believe just like when Jesus stood and looked over Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and the Word of God said he wept over that city. Why would somebody write about Jesus? He saw the multitudes and he had compassion on them. I believe his eyes were wet and his cheeks were wet. And I believe, beloved, listen, Jesus was Lord of all and they were under him. And yet, he loved them. This man's agony. This man here, the Word of God said, was sick and ready to die. I watched my dad suffer. He didn't suffer long. Thank God for that. He's not suffering anymore. Thank God for that. I said for years, my wife will tell you, I said, if Daddy has to sit on the porch, he won't last 2 weeks, didn't I, honey? And honest to God, it was about 2 weeks. I've got a picture on my phone. He's got Olivia in his lap with the oxygen tube in his nose. Every time he'd cough a little bit, blood, agony. This centurion saw this man's agony and still had a faith that you just couldn't shake. The second thing the Lord spoke to my heart about, not only was this man's agony, but there was the Savior's ability. I want to incorporate this in right here. This man's not running out there saying, I'm able. This man's running out there saying, he's able. As a matter of fact, others are saying about this centurion, he's worthy. But this centurion will not say that about himself. Amen. Even though he had that great faith, I've often said, beloved, the people that are walking closest to God don't know it. The closer we get to him, beloved, the more we realize that we need him. The more we realize, beloved, listen, it's about humility. It's about understanding and knowing, beloved. It's not about us. It's about him. This man had that humility. He understood the Savior's ability. The Word of God said here, when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom they should do this. For he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. You understand, he's a Gentile. Then Jesus went with them and went when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. I'll be honest with you tonight. We could have a revival in America if we had more of that attitude. If we come to church saying, Lord, I've said this many, many times in prayer. Lord, we don't deserve you to show up, but we sure do need you to show up. The Word of God said here, beloved, listen, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. He said, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word. You say, Pastor, you believe this man thought the Savior was able just to speak a word? That's exactly what the Word of God said, and that's exactly what I believe. I have said this, and I believe it's true. The Spirit of the living God can get more done in 30 seconds than I can get done in 30 years. It's a sad commentary. It really is. But most churches can have church with or without him. Most people can pray with or without him. Brother Don, lots of men can preach with or without him. Oh God, we need him. We need him. We need him in the choir. We need him in our visitation. We need him in our Sunday school classes. We need him in our homes. We need him in the house of God. And we need to know when he's here, he's able. Faith and Matthew are twins. I asked Faith in the class Sunday. I said, Faith, how long did you pray for Matthew before he was saved? She didn't hesitate. She said 5 years. She wouldn't get baptized till her brother got saved. She told her mom, said, I'm not getting baptized till Matthew gets saved. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm bragging on the youngin's faith. Amen. She was hanging in there. What have we prayed for 5 years? Sometimes we could ask the question, what have we prayed for 5 minutes? This man believed in the Savior's ability. Some of the scriptures that came to my mind, beloved, listen, God is able tonight. How many of y'all believe that? God is able to save. Put the name right there. You should have somebody to put in that slot. Say amen. If you're not praying, listen, that's one thing I love about praying for sinners, Brother Don. You never have to wonder if you're praying in the will of God. It's not his will that any should perish. but that all should come to repentance. The Bible said, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. I'm going to be changed one day. Not because I'm able, but because he's able. The word of God said, for the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able. That's why I don't lay down at night wondering, beloved, listen, if I'll be in heaven if he comes through the night. I'm persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm not miserable. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. If you struggle with assurance, let me just tell you this. I'm not fussing at you, but I'm telling you this. The devil would like to keep you struggling the rest of your life, because while you're struggling, you're no help to anybody else around you. This man had his eyes on others, not on himself. And Jesus said, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. A faith that could not be shaken. Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Wherefore, he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Ain't that good? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In Matthew 9, Jesus is talking to the blind men. When he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus saith unto them, listen to this. Jesus asked a question. He said, believe that I'm able to do this? How many believes Hebrews is right when it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God? For we must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Beloved, I'm telling you, this man had a faith that could not be shaken. I believe Joseph had a faith. That's why it didn't matter whether Joseph was down there with Daddy, wearing his coat of many colors. It didn't matter if he was in the pit. It didn't matter if he was in Potiphar's house. It didn't matter if he was in the prison. He didn't even get the big head when he was in the palace. You say, Pastor, how do you know Joseph didn't get the big head? What did he do when his brethren came? He went back there behind the curtain and wept. He was tickled to death to see him. And when Daddy died, he was even more tickled to forgive him. Or let him know he had already forgiven him. You can't live in victory. He had forgiven him years before. But it was made evident. You meant it to be for evil, but God meant it for good. To save much people alive this day. What a faith. Even when Joseph's leaving the scene, he said, listen, God's going to visit you. And when he said, Brother Steve, don't leave my bones in this place. Get me out of here. Well, I'll tell you something right now. God ain't going to leave us in this place. He's going to get us out of here. Amen. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. And you know what God did? He did it. The Bible said, now unto him that is able. I found out God couldn't even do more than I ask. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The power that worketh in us, beloved, is the Holy Spirit of the living God. That's why sometimes when we pray, long as we're earnest, praying in the Spirit of God can interpret. Sometimes the best praying we do is when we can't say anything. But God is able. This great faith, this faith that you just can't shake, it entered into another man's agony. His focus was on others and not on himself. He understood the Savior's ability. The last thing, and I think this is important, I think it's one reason that prayers go unanswered. This man understood the Savior's authority. When you and I get saved by the grace of God, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. The Word of God said we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We're living in a generation, for the most part, that despises authority. Nobody wants to work for somebody that tells them what to do. I saw the transition in school years ago. I was in junior high school when I saw the transition. But when I went to school, I'll just give you an example. Daddy said, son, you get in trouble in school, you're in double trouble when you get home. But I saw the transition where no longer was the child in trouble, but now the teacher's in trouble. In other words, I'm trying to tell you the rebellion didn't start in the kids, it started in the parents. You say, Pastor, they're hollering because God, or because that one woman allowed them to take talking to God, taking prayer out of school. I'll tell you something right now. You study it out, I guarantee you it was took out of most homes before it was ever took out of school. Prayer went out and an old television come in. Somebody help me. Bible reading went out. Something else took it. Authority. If we're left to ourselves, we're in trouble. We need authority in our lives. And this man understood. He said, I've got, well, I didn't see this afternoon, but he said, look at verse number 8. For I also am a man set under authority. You see that right there? I'm going to tell you something. The best leaders, anywhere you go, know how to be led. A man don't get to be the head of his house by sticking his chest out and saying, bless God, I'm the head of this house. A man submits to the lordship of Christ. And when Christ is the head of the man, it's not very difficult. You don't even have to tell anybody you're the head of the house. Amen. The Savior's authority. He said, I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. In other words, he wasn't going to just tell us about the ones that was under him. He's saying, they somebody over me. I don't remember how the story goes exactly, but supposedly a young man told his dad, I'm tired of your rules. What are you going to do, son? I'm going to join the Marines. I've never been in the military, but I believe I got an ID. I don't believe they come through with an alarm clock at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't believe you're asked to get out. You're commanded. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I believe this centurion loved him. I believe the more he heard about him, the more he loved him. I'll say this tonight. I don't believe anybody but Jesus can produce this kind of humility. It's not in us. Somebody say amen. It ain't in our flesh to have this kind of humility. Say, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. And Lord, really, I don't even deem myself worthy to come out there and talk to you. Lord, if you would, just speak the word. Just speak the word. We need to ask ourselves the question tonight. Do we believe he's still speaking? I do. I believe he's still speaking. I'm going to say something tonight. I don't know if anybody agree with it or not. It really don't matter. I'm just telling you what I think. I believe God's calling more men than are answering. Let me ask you something. Let me give you an example. Now, our church is an exception, and I mean that. Most pastors, or let me just say it like this, many pastors live in misery. Because somebody's got their thumb on them. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen. That when you're talking about this kind of faith, we need to understand and realize God is able. Brother Paul, I wish I could take it. Just take it out. Flush it. Throw it away. Put it in a bag of hazardous waste. Forget about it. Regardless of what some are preaching, I don't have that ability. But I know the one who does. There's been more than one person that's caused the doctor to go like this. We don't understand. And there's been more than one Christian that said to the doctor, I do. My Father has touched me. He's helped me. The Savior's authority. I have under me soldiers. I say to one, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. I've said this from this pulpit before. I'll ask a question tonight. See if somebody remembers. There's two things in the Gospels that cause Jesus to marvel. Does anybody remember what they are? You do, don't you, Miss Eve? You've probably heard it 100 times. You've been listening to me preach since I'm 27 years old. There's two things that cause Jesus to marvel. I want you to think about this. One was great faith. And two was unbelief. You think about that. Two things that cause Jesus to marvel. Great faith and unbelief. I don't know about you, but I know which end of that I want to be on. The Word of God said here, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and he turned him about. Jesus got a bunch of people following him, and he turns around and he says to them, I've not found so great faith. No, not in all Israel. They that were sent, returning to the house, didn't take him long, did it? I just now thought of something. I don't know. I won't be dogmatic about it. It's not recorded that Jesus said anything. The centurion said, in a word, it's not recorded that he said anything. There are other times when he has said things like, thy faith hath made thee whole, go and sin no more. But it's not recorded that he said anything. There are other times, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me whole. I remember Jesus said, I will. But it's not recorded right here that he said anything. In other words, he don't even say. I won't be dogmatic about it. Other times he's looked up and said, Father, I was glad that I wasn't here when it was Lazarus. You remember that. But here there's nothing recorded that he said concerning the healing of the servant. He speaks with authority, doesn't he? Whether it comes out of his mouth or whether he just wills it, he has great authority. I want God to increase my faith. I want God to give me a faith that cannot be shaken. I didn't plan on saying this, but I remember well, Brother Wayne, the first time my faith was shaken. I remember it well. I was pastor of my first church in Wise, Virginia. Lady that played our piano. No, she played the organ. Sarah played the piano. Her name was Marlene. Sweetest woman you ever meet in your life. Never hear her say an unkind word about anybody. It was Indian Path, Sister Reba. I remember the corridor. It's right there in front of y'all's desk going back that way. Now, I'm sure the hospital's laid out different now. They used to operate down on that end. And I remember us coming out of the little waiting room. And I remember the surgeon making eye contact. He started shaking his head. He got up there and spoke to Brother Earl. He said, your wife has pancreatic cancer. It's incurable. He said, what'd you do, Pastor? Did you start shaking your head? No, I started praying. I started fasting. She got to where she was supposed to be back at church on a Wednesday night. She had went out to lunch with some of the people she worked with. Just before church, I got a phone call. They told me that Marlene was hemorrhaging. They had rushed her to the hospital. This is very personal, what I'm sharing with you, but I'm telling you about a time in my life, Brother Don, when my faith was shaken. It wasn't a son. It wasn't a daughter. It wasn't my wife. It wasn't my mama. It wasn't my daddy. It was just somebody that I loved dearly. And Brother Wayne was confident that God was going to heal her. That night, about 10 o'clock, they were giving her blood, and she was losing the blood faster than they could give it to her. And I said, Sister Marlene, I love you. And she's the only woman in my life that I've ever heard. Now, Sister Gwen's bad. This woman's worse. She could make four or five syllables out of the word you. She said, I love you. That's all. The last thing she said. I didn't tell anybody, but oh, it hurt. Have you ever been there? Answer me. It don't always work out like we think it should. like we'd like for it to. But I had to learn something, Brother Gristle. I had to learn, and learn the hard way, about how Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said to the Father, Father, there's a word here that we need, even in faith, that we need to know. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Here's the word, nevertheless. Not as I will, but thy will be done. I've had God miraculously answer prayers. I believe in fasting and praying. I don't think there's a thing wrong with that. I believe the Bible teaches it. But I'm going to tell you something. This bunch that's on the television and other places, they act like you march into the throne room of God and you command Him to do this, you command Him to do that. They're missing it. I didn't mean to share that tonight. Maybe somebody needed it. He's still God. They used to have a show on television. I don't remember anything about the show except the title, Father Knows Best. How many remembers that title? You just told me how old you are. Older than dirt, Brother Larry. Older than dirt. Amen. How many believes tonight we have a Father that knows best? When we get home, God will show me then how He was working in this plan when He took Marlene home. To this day, I don't understand it. One of the things it's helped me through the years. I learned it, Brother Steve, as I looked at Hebrews. The Word of God uses this little phrase, of whom the world was not worthy. And I wonder sometimes if God just don't take some jewels. That this world is not even worthy of. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen.